But he's got a double portion of the anointing. Amen. And always brings a word from God. I don't know how many times you've been to this church. You come two or three times a year. And always brings a word from God. So stand your feet with me. Let's welcome the man of God.
Reaching for one, so when you get up. You're loving Jesus. If you love Jesus, you can sit down. If not, keep standing so I know who you are. It makes my job a lot easier, praise God. I'm going to get in some stuff. My wife just wrote a book on, it's an e-book on the healing flow. And it's basically what she learned from Oral Roberts, working closely with Oral for years. And she tells stories in there about Brother Roberts that even Brother Roberts didn't tell. But it was observations. And I believe it's one of the most anointing things I ever read. And I'm not saying it just because my wife, I mean, she's written several books, but Righteousness Revealed in this particular book are the ones that just push my button. So, the others are good, but these push my button. I mean, they're just amazing. So if you check it out on Amazon. Yeah, she ghostwrited for Lester. And for Brother Copeland for a little while, So she's kind of been around that way. That's good. I love it. Well, I want to get into the Word tonight. I'm so excited. It's ridiculous how excited I am. But God spoke recently to me, and he said, "I want my people to get their fight back." And so. Now, at this point, this is where I am. I believe it's time to get our fight back. I believe it's time to get aggressive on this thing. I believe that literally God has released a spirit of war. And honestly, if we don't fight the enemy, we will fight one another. So we're going to fight one way or the other. Come on now. And we're going to get into some stuff tonight about warfare, but I'm going to go a whole lot of different angles. Because, back in the late 70s and 80s, the body of Christ almost got too demon-centered. Everything became a devil. Everywhere you looked, it was a devil. Whether it was, there was no flesh, everything was the devil. And the pendulum, it got weird. People were going high, basically taking airline flights so that they could go to high places to tear down strongholds. And yet we're seated in heavenly places. You can't go any higher than that. You don't have to get on a plane. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? But people got weird. And, and I believe the pendulum has swung way the opposite direction. And I believe now we see most of the church world is handling everything in the natural, and it's not working. How many people understand you can't counsel a devil? You got to cast it out. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why you have people that are in counseling for 500 years. Come on, because they never get any better because there's a spirit that's operating that needs to be bound first. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to have some fun tonight. Verse 8, it says, be of sober spirit, not somber spirit. God does not want you to be a depressed warrior. Come on now. It says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. If I hear God saying anytime, it's time to be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Have you ever noticed the enemy does not pick on groups? He doesn't pick on individuals. Doesn't pick on groups. He always picks on individuals. So the first thing he tries to do is separate you. Come on. Because if you get away from the local assembly, he can pick you off. There is literally, when there's the numbers are anointed, there's power in numbers. Come on now. When you're under attack, then there's other people that can basically come to your rescue. But when you're separated, that doesn't happen. Come on. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is. But come on. We need to get together more as we see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I see the day approaching. But I ask God, I said, God, why has the church lost its, basically, why has it lost its fight? It's almost like the air has been knocked out. You know, and God spoke this to me, and He said, it's because they've lost their joy. And the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. And how many of you understand that honestly, you can't fight depressed? You can't. You have no strength. You even can't put on the armor of God unless you're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Then you put on the armor of God. See, and I believe in His presence there's fullness of joy. See, God sits in heaven and laughs. If you were around God, you would hear more laughter. Come on. He sits in heaven and laughs, even as the heathen rage. Come on. And how many of you understand God wants you to learn to laugh again? You know, He wants to give you the last laugh. Come on now. And what I found out about the enemy is he's constantly trying to get you to basically back off of your joy level. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 3. If you can find it, that's good. That's why I have tabs in my Bible. You know, it is. Trust me. It's real interesting. I learned to quote a lot of scriptures just in case I don't remember where they are in terms of where the book's located. You know, it's amazing. I know the scriptures. I forget where the book's located. It's sad. Anyway, but Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst." How many of you want to be like God? How many people are saying God is a victorious warrior? He's in your midst as a victorious warrior. Come on now. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He'll rejoice over you with shout. If you were aware of what's going on, God showed up as a warrior in our midst tonight. Come on now. Then He brought a host with Him of warrior angels. Because when God comes in, He takes over. Amen. Come on. And literally every one of you has an angel attached to you. If you're a believer, you have at least one. And be honest with you, your job is to command your angels. If you don't put your angels to work, you cannot fulfill the will of God in your life. Because God did not, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, that angels are ministers to the heirs of salvation. They're appointed to us. So literally, God did not assign someone, a creature like that to us unless we needed it to fulfill His will. Come on now. You need to begin to see this. And literally, let's look at verse 19. It says, "Behold, I'm going to deal with you at that time with all your oppressors." God's about ready to deal with some oppressors. Come on now. Amen. He said, "I will save the lame." How many of you know when you were saved, you were awfully lame? Come on. God said, "I will save the lame and I'll gather the outcast." And He says, "I will turn their shame into praise and renown." So God says, "I will save the lame, remove their shame, and call them to fame." Come on now. God takes away our shame and makes us a praise and renown in all the earth. Come on. God gets glorified. We begin to reflect His glory. The same glory Jesus has is on us. Come on. It's been given to us. And literally, God is beginning, everything goes back to learning to rejoice at all times. One of the greatest tools of evangelism and warfare is joy. The kingdom's in power, but guess what? The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy And the whole, it's not a question whether you have joy, it's a question whether you'll draw it. You got joy within you. Some of you need to smile. It increases face value. Come on. It does. Just think about that. See, you know, we need to be like in Habakkuk where it says, though there's no figs on the fig tree. First of all, God says, I won't take your feet like hinds' feet. God never, ever, ever, ever wants you to stay low. He wants to take you up. Come on now. He said, when there's nothing's working, when there's no figs being produced, when there are no calves, yet I'll rejoice, yet I'll rejoice, yet I'll rejoice. I've learned something. When the enemy's attacking us and we don't lose our joy, he'll leave. Why? Because his number one job is to make you miserable. And if you don't get miserable, he'll leave because he's not doing his job. And he'll find someone else. See, the devil wants you to have a party. God wants you to have a party. But the devil's party is a pity party. It's a party with the pit. Come on now. James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. But you count it all joy not because of the trial, but because you know something. That you're going to come out of this thing lacking nothing. When you know that you cannot be defeated. See, one of the biggest problems in spiritual warfare is most people go into warfare trying to get the victory. If you're trying to get the victory, you're defeated. We are not trying to get the victory. We're trying to enforce the victory. Jesus already got it. Come on now. And he gave it to us. Come on. He made us more than a conqueror. He always leads us in triumph. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory. Come on. You know, just like if you're trying to get healed tonight, you're missing it. Jesus healed you 2,000 years ago. We are not trying to get healed. We're trying to keep the devil from stealing our health. Come on now. It's already ours. Just like you're not trying to get prosperous. You're trying to keep the devil from stealing your wealth. Amen. Come on. You've got to understand, it's already done. You're not trying to get God to move. He moved 2,000 years ago. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Amen. You're not even really trying to get God to answer your prayers. You're trying to get God to hear them. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. Before you ask, Isaiah 65:24. Before you asked, he answered. While you're speaking, he hears. Come on. Something's going to begin to break tonight. Some of you honestly, you know, God showed me in Isaiah 61 that as long as there's a spirit of mourning, we can't do anything. God wants to take off the spirit of heaviness. He wants to put on the mantle of praise, and he wants to give us that oil of gladness, the oil of gladness. Yeah. Then we will rebuild ruined cities. Come on, and raise up former devastation. Yeah. It's going to be a happy bunch. Come on. It's going to be a happy bunch. Some of you, honestly, God just wants to give you an oil change. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know it. You know, there are times you just ain't moving very good. You need an oil change. And it wasn't by accident that the greatest battle in the history of the world was fought at Calvary, or a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. That's where our big greatest battles are fought. That's why in Psalm 92:10, God wants to anoint your head with fresh oil. Now let me show you how this joy thing works, because you know I'm going to get into a lot of other things, but I want to start here. Because we don't get this, we ain't going to have the strength to fight. Come on. Years ago, I was overseeing the church. Now, it's one of the churches I oversee. And I was overseeing the church, and the pastor called me up, and they had a terrible church split. It was awful. I mean, one of the worst I've ever heard of. In the middle, they have several hundred people, or had several hundred people. And during the Sunday service, half the people got up, confronted the pastor, and left. It wasn't even one of those where they didn't go to church. It was a public confrontation. Pastor called me up. Of course, he was totally in shock. He said, "What?" And I was scheduled to preach there the next week. He said, "What do we do?" I said, "Let me pray about it." He said, "Are you coming?" I said, "Yeah, I'm coming. I'm always in for a good fight." You got to understand, so I'm a fighter by nature. When I was born, the doctor slapped me, I slapped him back. That's what my parents tell me. You know, I am just a fighter, but we fight a good fight of faith. It really bothers me when we wimp out. Amen. Kingdom of Heaven suffer violence, and a violent taken by force. I've always been violent. I used to be violent in the flesh, now I'm violent in the spirit. But I've always been violent. Come on now. So I understand that. But when the situation arose, I went to pray. And this is what the Lord told me. He said in James 1, 2, when it says, count it all joy. He said, when everything goes wrong, throw a party. I mean, that's my translation. When you're believing God for $500 and you need $5,000, bake a cake. Put the party hat on. Put the blower on. Because the same God, you know something, the same God that was going to provide the $500 is going to provide the $5,000. All right. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? Whether it's a headache or cancer, it's the same God.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
There was, you know, that would take away one's going. There's nothing too big for God. Nothing. Right. And I knew what was going on. I knew if the atmosphere gets depressed, there is never victory. The enemy was after that church's atmosphere. So I called the pastor up. He didn't like what I told him. I said, I want you to buy the biggest cake you can get. And I said, I want you to buy party hats and blowers for every adult that you expect at the service. And I want you to give the ushers the party hat and the blower and make sure they put the party hat on before they get into the sanctuary. Have you ever been to a party with miserable kids? It's supposed to be a birthday party, but they're crying. It's the saddest thing you ever saw. There's one thing worse than that. When you have a bunch of adults with party hats on, and if looks could kill, you're dead. And I'm staring, and I knew, you know, they were thinking, you know, all my friends left, I'm leaving too. I started preaching on the joy of the Lord. I kept preaching on basically when everything goes wrong, throw a party. Don't let the devil steal your joy. He steals your joy, he gets your goods.
That's right.
Come on now. And I began to preach that, and anointing hit. And when the anointing hit, all of a sudden, everything changed. And they began to stand up. They started blowing their blowers. The cake, they had the cake in the sanctuary. And some of them ran up, picked up some. They had a food fight going on. But it was a happy place. Something changed. And something when the atmosphere changed the next week, many of the people that left came back. Then visitors started coming. And that church is healthier than it ever was. That's what happens when you begin to draw joy, draw joy, draw joy. Come on now. Yeah, I mean, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. And if you don't believe God has a good sense of humor, you look to the left of you, look to the right of you, and look in the mirror. We all funny. Come on now. We are all funny. And you know, if you take yourself too seriously, I still think you're funny. It's time to wake up the mighty men for war. It's time, church. It's time that we go to battle. It's time that we learn how to fight again, praise God. It's time that we take back what the devil's stolen. And you know, it's time that we wake up. I asked God, I said, God, he said, a lot of times the prophets will prophesy, but they don't prophesy to the wind enough. They'll prophesy to the dry bones, and the whole army will come together, but they don't move. You got to prophesy to the wind. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. We got an army that has to get moving in. Come on, Holy Ghost. And we can't do it naturally. We got to do it supernaturally. Come on, Holy Ghost. And in Romans 13:11 says, it's high time that we awake out of sleep. Doing what? Putting on the armor of light. How do you know if someone's awake or asleep? If they're awake, they have the armor on. Come on. If you don't have the armor on, you're asleep. You know, for this purpose is the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. The Lord is a warrior. Come on. The Lord is His name. Exodus 15:3. He said, be a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. We know we're going to a war that has already been won. Yeah. You know, the saddest thing in the world is for people to lose a fight that's fixed. Think about that. God says, I've given you the victory. He told the children of Israel, I've given you the land. And they refused to take it by force. So they ended up being laid low in the wilderness. And God usually gets blamed for that. You know, the original sin is still the greatest sin in the church today. God gave Adam dominion over every creep. Come on now. Over all dominion, you know, over all creation, but especially the creeps. Come on, the devil's a creep.
Yeah, right.
We got dominion over creeps. And you know, here Adam is, he goes and he watches Satan tempting Eve. And he's there, right there with her. He knows he has dominion. He knows that his responsibility is to protect the atmosphere in the garden. And he does nothing. How many times the enemy come in? Jesus came, he died, literally got the keys of death, get the keys of hell, even the keys of the kingdom. Rose from the dead, gave us all power, all authority, gave it to us. So whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. And the enemy comes in, we say nothing. What you don't forbid is permitted.
All right.
Silence. When you're silent in the face of the enemy, you're giving them permission. And the church has given the enemy permission. In fact, in Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. Which means if he has a place, you gave it to him. Which means you can also evict him. Come on now. And I believe some of us, we need to begin to do some eviction. We need to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the evil one. We need to understand the only thing the devil should know is your foot size.
Come on now.
Come on. And casting out devils is something that follows believers. It's one of the things we do. I'll never forget the first time I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost in a week's time. And my first dealing with a devil was that week. One of my friends said, I got a demon-possessed friend. He said, you want to go cast them out? Say, yeah, that's cool. You know, I mean, you know, we're real cocky when we first get born again. We are. We don't know what we can't do. And the problem is, we get, as we mature, we learn what we can't do because we don't learn right. Because there's nothing in part, you know. But there are things you got to learn in terms of doing it right. But I remember when I came with this guy and they introduced me to the friend. Everything was good until it was like a horror movie. Eyes roll back in the head. This deep voice comes out of this guy's thing. He said, I'm going to kill you. And I looked at him. I said, no, you're not. And I ran as fast as I could. True story. Wasn't ready for that one yet. 10 years later, I'm preaching. By that time, I'm called in ministry, and I'm preaching in Syracuse, New York, in a small auditorium with about 200 or 300 people in it. And a little lady, I give an altar call. This 90-pound little lady comes forward, and I look into her eyes, and I said, "They're back." I knew that. And being the man of God I was, I had two huge ushers. Though both of them were about 250, 280, something like that. Big guys, strong guys. So I figured I'd get the ushers to take her to a side room. And we would cast out the spirit afterwards, and if we didn't, nobody would know anyway. I'm being honest. The only problem was this lady messed me up because I had the ushers go get her to take her back. And she began this growl and said, "I'm going to kill you." And I thought, okay, here we go again. So these ushers grabbed her by one arm, one by the other, and she threw them both up in the air. And you just see the fear that came in the atmosphere, like, "Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And I had learned something. I learned that when you don't know what to do, you fake it. So I said, "Everybody, let's praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Let's praise Him." I was stalling. Come on. I'm thinking, "Thank you." I'm going, "Thank you, Jesus." I said, "Everyone pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you." And I'm going through every scripture on devils I know. Do I ask them their name or do I tell them to shut up? Both are scriptural. What if I ask them their name and it's a lying devil? That's the way I thought. But God showed me what to do, and I did it, and that lady got delivered. And, from that moment on, I've learned, when you go into warfare, God will show you what to do. Amen. God will show, if you ask the Holy Ghost, He'll show you how to handle every situation. And He'll make sure you win, because understand, spiritual warfare is one-on-one fight. It's not you. It's God against the devil. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Come on now. You've got to understand it's a one-on-one fight. God, the only reason God needs you is He needs a body. But literally, your battle is not against flesh and blood. Come on. It's against principalities, powers, wicked spirits. I remember Jesse Duplantis said first time he ever cast out a devil. This lady came up, it's not always ladies, but this time it was a lady. And she came up in a meeting, and he said, there are about 800 people in the auditorium. And he told the people, he said, "You better plead the blood of Jesus so this spirit doesn't jump on you when I cast it out." So they were going, blood, 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 blood. And it sounded like a bunch of tugboats in the harbor, you know. And the lady came up, and he commanded that spirit to leave in Jesus' name. And you know, the lady flew back, and she had a wig on. And the wig flew out in the air and landed on a man in the third row. And he began to scream, "Hairy devil, hairy devil, hairy devil." But still, you better plead the blood. You don't want to get some hairy devil on you. Come on now. Let's go to Psalm 18. He said, "You're crazy, but I'm fun." I believe if we'll fight, we'll win. I remember years ago, I said, "Lord, if I was a professional wrestler, I'd be called Road Warrior." And the Lord said, "You are a professional wrestler." I said, "I am." And they began to talk in Ephesians 6 about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I said, I'd be called Road Warrior because I travel so many miles, travel 150,000 miles a year. Preaching the gospel. And he said, "You are a professional wrestler." I said, "Am I any good?" He said, "You're a champion." He said, "In fact, you're part of the greatest tag team that ever lived." I said, "Who's my partner?" He said, "I am."
All right.
And he said, then I asked him, I said, "Am I undefeated?" He said, "You should be." I said, "How can I lose with you as my partner?" He said, "Sometimes you want to go first." How many of you have ever said, "I'll handle this one, Lord. I'll handle this one. Come on now." See, God will fight for you if you show up. If you'll just show up, He'll do the fighting. Come on now. You use your faith, He'll do the fighting. Come on. That's what, many times, that's what even intercession is. Let's go to Psalm 18, verse 33. He said, He made my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on high places. Honestly, you cannot fight from a low place. Understand that. You must exalt your position above your condition. You cannot move a mountain you're not looking down on. You're seated far above principalities, far above powers. Come on, you're seated in Christ in heavenly places. That's where all your authority comes from. Come on, you're far above already. That's why you have the right to tell the devil, get under my feet. Come on now. You have a right to do that. And he says, from that position, he'll train your hands for war. You know, many people teach warfare without teaching position. And all our authority comes from our position in Christ. Come on now. Does this make sense? But once we understand our position, it's time to fight. It's time to believe God. It's time to see things turned around, praise God. It's time to make sure that we understand something. In Colossians 2, it talked about how, in verse 15, how the Lord disarmed principalities, powers, disarmed the enemy, made a public display of His defeat. And He said, in Christ, the fullness of deity dwells in us. You got God on the inside of you. How can you lose? And He said, literally, let me show you how this works. Because how many people understand it's lack of revelation that's keeping us defeated? Years ago, in World War II, General Wainwright was the only American general captured by the Japanese army. He was in a prisoner of war camp. He was being told a lie. Every day he was told America was losing the war by his captors. Every day, be honest with you, the devil's working on you, saying you lost, you lost, you lost, you lost. You're losing this thing. You'll never get out of here. Come on. If you believe a lie, you're held in bondage. That's why you have to cast down every thought and every imagination. When Japan surrendered, General MacArthur knew where General Wainwright was. And he said, go get General Wainwright. How many of you understand? One sentence can change everything. One word from heaven can change everything. And when the people in the airplanes, when the Americans landed, soldiers landed, this broken man, he was broken physically and he was losing hope. But everything changed. They came and he basically hobbled up with his cane to the, you know, barbed wire fence. They saluted him and they said, sir, Japan has surrendered. Historians say he threw away the cane. He straightened up and he started marching to where the commander of that prisoner of war's camp's office was. And he kicked in the door and he got into that man's face. And he made this statement, your commander-in-chief has surrendered to my commander-in-chief, and I run this place. Come on now. 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. You can read it in Colossians. The enemy was totally disarmed, humiliated. God gave us the keys. He said, whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loose, and we are called to run this place. That's the kingdom. Come on. We're not here to fit in. We're here to take over. Some of you won't get this. You know, let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Is this all right today? Some of you, honestly, God's just going to begin to breathe that fight back into you. Come on. You know, you've been whooping post too much. It's too many people put on the full armor of God, then lay down and say, now it won't hurt so bad. Come on. You know, and all of us at times, how many of you have ever experienced this? You're feeling down. Come on. You know, you've been hit. Life, it keeps hitting you. You're in a season of attack. But then the enemy hits you one time too many. Makes you angry. It's almost like as though any of the other stuff was fair. Now that is not fair. And it just gets you back up on your feet. And the moment you get on your feet, the tide changes. Come on now. You submit to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee. You submit to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee. Some of you need to get angry. There's a time for love. There's a time for hate. Ecclesiastes 3:8. There's a time for peace, but there's also a time for war. And be honest, if you don't hate properly, you don't love properly. You're always going to hate that which attacks that which you love. If you love an alcoholic, you hate the alcohol. If you love a drug addict, you hate drugs. If you love someone that has cancer in their body, you hate cancer. Because what you don't hate, you tolerate. If you don't hate poverty, you tolerate poverty. If you don't hate all sickness, you tolerate a certain level of sickness. Whatever you don't hate, you tolerate. Come on now. And what did God say? If you don't forbid it, it's yours. Don't blame me. Come on. We need to begin to hate sin, love God. Love the sinner, but because we love the sinner, we hate the sin because the sin is destroying them. Come on. It's time. There's a call to arms. You set the trumpet to the lips, and it literally is a call to war. Nehemiah 4:14 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's about the middle of the scripture. I like it. It says, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses, your nations, your school, come on now. It's time to fight." There's a call to arms, and God wants to give us weapons of righteousness to our right hand and weapons of righteousness to our left. And most of the fighting is done on our knees because it's a spiritual warfare. Come on. Several years ago, I had this lady, you know, I was preaching in Indiana, and this lady, you know, one of the ladies in the church came up to me. It's again one of the churches. I have several churches under me. It's one of my churches. And the lady came up to me. She was a nurse, and she told me, she said, "Tomorrow, Nancy, who was one of the elders' wives, is going to find out she has less than 6 months to live." And she was 33 years old with three kids. She wasn't feeling right, but she didn't know how bad it was. She said, "What should I do?" She said, "I didn't want to tell her until the doctor talked to her." I said, let's have a prayer meeting ready. I said, "Find out from your doctor if you can leave the office with her. As soon as she gets the news, take her back to the church. We'll be waiting." I'll never forget that, because she walked into the church obviously in shock. Many people understand, there's certain battles you don't choose. You would not want to have to fight it, but it's here, so you got to fight it. You wouldn't have choose to go through certain things that you had to go through, but the bottom line is you're going to the other side. None of us want storms. None of us wants, and God didn't send them. The enemy sent them to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. You got to stop them. Well, this lady came up to me and she asked me the hardest question I've ever been asked in ministry. She got in my face. She's a good friend of mine. And she said, "Woody, tell me, am I going to live or am I going to die?" And you know, I know the will of God is that people should live and not die, and especially of cancer. God wants to satisfy you with long life. You know? But at the same time, I've been around enough to see people who do die before their time. So I did not want to say with a room full of people, there were, you know, about 60, 70 people in the room, and I didn't want to give a guarantee that, honestly, if the person's faith wasn't there. So I backed off and said, okay, Holy Ghost, give me your words. Because I was going to say what the word said anyway. But I was also going to tell them. And this is what the Holy Ghost said. He said, you tell Nancy if she's willing to fight, she'll live. And if she's not willing to fight, she's going to die. And I remember, I just got in her face. I just saw, I said, Nancy, if you're willing to fight, you fight the good fight of faith, you're going to beat this thing. If you're not willing to fight, you're going to die. And all of a sudden, I watched the, it almost like something rose up on the inside of her. And just as I saw that going on in her eyes, there was this 65-year-old lady who I used to call an old lady, now I call her middle-aged, because that was 20 years ago, and I thought that was old. Now it's getting closer to where I am, so now it's middle-aged. Come on now. Pretty soon be a young filly. But... You know, age is relative. Depends on which relative you're comparing yourself to. You know? But I saw her, this old lady, well, not an old lady, middle-aged lady. She jumps up on a chair. I didn't know white woman could jump. And she jumps up on a chair and she goes wild. She begins screaming, no devil, no devil. You're not going to steal. You're not going to steal. Nancy's life. No, devil, we forbid you. And the next thing I know, the spirit of war hit. And especially the ladies in the room. There are a few men, but mostly the ladies. I if I could feel sorry for the devil. Because I had never seen that level of warfare immediately. And they rose up and they just went to hollering and hooping and binding. And you know, she went in for surgery on Tuesday. When they opened her up, there was no tumor. There was no cancer. But you know, if they didn't fight, do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes that intercession will hit you. And you may not understand it, but you can change your entire region in a one-night prayer meeting. In a one-night prayer meeting. You know, standing in the gap, you can basically turn something that would have been a tragedy into a triumph. You can stop the enemy in his tracks. You can change the atmosphere in your city and in your region. Why? Because you got the authority to. I was in the same church in Indiana a year later, and I had preached a good message, I thought. I gave an altar call, and everybody hit the altar. And this little 10-year-old girl, she began to intercede, and she was praying so hard and so intense that honestly, even the pastor said, you know, I thought she might even hurt herself physically. Because I'm thinking, is that even possible, what I'm seeing? And, you know, the pastor came over and said, what do you think? I said, well, let me check it out. So I went close to where the girl was. I was going to lay my hands and pray with her. And when I got close to where she was, I heard God say, as strong as I've ever heard Him say, it's me. Leave this alone. And I pulled back to the pastor and I said, it's God. And for the next 3 hours, it was the heaviest travail I've ever seen anyone do. And it just was gut-wrenching. And what amazed me is we had several hundred people in a place and nobody moved. It was almost like a holy hush. In fact, you know, if you breathed hard, you would have excused yourself. because the atmosphere was so thick. And this girl is going and going and going and going. And at the very end, she's still travailing. In fact, she's getting even more intense. And all of us start laughing at the same time. I mean, something. I mean, and we almost, I almost felt guilty because here, and you're, yeah! And the whole place is going wild. Because as soon as Zion travails, she gives birth. And what was happening is like when you're in the room, when your wife's giving birth, all of a sudden you're seeing the head come. And you're beginning to rejoice because you're seeing something. So, there's a manifestation. Come on now. And she doesn't see that yet. She just knows she got a job to do. So she's still pushing it out while you're rejoicing. After a while, she finally starts rejoicing because the thing was done. And she got up and nobody left. It was like a 5-hour service by that time. Nobody dared leave. She said, Brother Woody, do you mind if I share something? I said, you did all the work. She got up and she's 10 years old. And she says so cutely, she said, you know, I was up here and praying. This thing hit me. The anointing hit me. And she said, I began to see, and she started naming spirits. She said they were clogging the atmosphere. There are demonic powers over this region. And as I began to intercede and pray, she said the more intensely I prayed, more and more warrior spirits were coming. I saw warrior angels coming in and invading and driving it. And he said the war was on. And he said it took the 3 hours to clear the atmosphere. She said, it's clear. And I thought, that's interesting. But the proof is that for the next 10 years in that region, almost every church, and I mean that was just not a one state region. Almost every church that preached the gospel saw phenomenal growth. It was easy to get people born again. Drug use, drug dealers, they just stopped having problems. Crying went down ridiculously. Everything for about 10 years was almost like an open heaven. Now, unfortunately, people with authority didn't keep it open. But for a while, it was like heaven on earth in that area. I believe God is going to raise up warriors that are going to change the atmosphere. Come on now. And what was almost, it seemingly like it's been hard in one sense. It's going to be the easiest thing you ever saw once this thing breaks. It's going to be the easiest thing you've ever saw. It's going to be easy to get people born again. It's going to be easy to get people healed. It's going to be easy to get people delivered. It's going to be easy to see your family members serving God. It's going to be easy. Come on now. But I believe God is raising up warriors. He's anointing us. It's time to fight. Come on. For some of you, it's just time to take back some stuff. Come on. You know, for some of you, you're going to have to begin to go and fight again. Does this make sense? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Something's going to happen tonight. I believe that. God told me. He said, I need a body to fight with. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. He said, I want to pick a fight. I don't have a body. You hear what I'm saying? There's a new sheriff in town. That's us. That's us. That's us. We're under His authority, but we are the authority. You need to see yourself that way. Don't look at yourself any way but in the spirit. The whole earth is in travail until finally the sons of God wake up and realize the authority they got. This is a kingdom thing. Romans chapter 1. You know, One thing I've learned is you can teach what you know. You can impart who you are. I teach a lot of stuff I can teach, and it's good. You teach at a distance, you impart up close. There are a lot of things I can teach, and they're good. They're good. Sometimes God just has me in that mode where I realize it's not as much of impartation as it is a teaching. But there's certain things that are so much part of my DNA. One is boldness. You can't hang around me and not get bold. You can't. I've had shy people who've taken my classes, you know, at Victory Bible, and they came in. They wouldn't even look anyone in the eye. They were the type of people that were afraid of their own shadow. By the time they left that class, they were almost obnoxiously bold. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they were coming home and their husband would say something to, and they would just get picked on all the time. And all of a sudden, they would just, no, you're talking to me that way anymore. I had men getting saved and delivered because their wife finally stood up. Come on. You know, you still need to submit, but not that way. Come on. Hallelujah. But Romans 1 verse 9 says, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift." That is why I'm here. Come on now. I mean, I'm a warrior. And literally, like begets like. I want to rub off on you. I want to get you. I want to get you guys back on your feet. I want to get you back treading. I want to get you back looking for a fight. Come on now. Where instead of the devil chasing you, you're chasing the devil. Come on now. You're not looking for demons. You're looking for Jesus. But if a devil shows up, you ain't backing away.
That's right.
Come on now. No devil's going to come and invade my turf. Come on now. Does this make sense? Years ago, I was preaching at a church in a rural town of Missouri. There wasn't a hotel within 30, 40 miles. Really country place. The pastor calls me up and says, "Well, do you mind staying at a parishioner's house?" I said, "No, I stay at home sometimes." He said, "But it's a woman." I said, "I don't stay at ladies' homes. There's a reason now I'm going on 35 years of marriage. You know, you don't have even an appearance for evil. No opportunity, no problem. You know, we're a strong ministry that way. We're taught right. I wish more young ministers would learn. You know?" So I told the pastor, I said, "I don't think so." And then he told me, he said, "But she's 85. At the time, I was like 38, 39. I said, "You sure she's 85? They said, "Yes." Well, you know, I said, "Fax me a picture," because they did have fax machines. I said, "Fax me a picture, and I'll show it to my wife. And if my wife says it's okay, it'll be okay." And she looked like an Amish grandma with a little bun. Come on now. And she looks so cute. So my wife said, "If she looks like that, you can stay there." So I said, "Pastor, you sure she looks like that? That's her picture?" And sure enough. In fact, I'll never forget going into the house, because when I travel, a lot of times, if I'm staying in someone's home or anything, I always tell them I'm fasting. Because I've been killed with some people's eating. Some of their food. If it's really bad, I say it's just like my mama used to make, because my mom was the worst cook who ever lived. So I told this lady, she said, "Are you hungry?" And I said, "No, I'm fasting." It didn't take me like a minute to tell her, "God released me from the fast." It was heaven on earth. It was like an Amish grandma. It was heaven. It was all. It was so wonderful. It's all this. All the stuff I'm not allowed to eat anymore. But it was great. When I get to heaven, I'm going to make it up. All carbs in heaven. All carbs. All chocolate. Amen. In the beginning, God created chocolate. I know it. And, you know, but I ate dinner at 7 o'clock at night, and this is what the lady says to me. She said, "Aren't you going to bed yet?" I said, 7. She said, "Yeah, it's late, isn't it?" Now, you got to understand something to me. I am someone that very rarely goes to bed before 2 or 3 in the morning. Very rarely. If I do, it's a rare thing. My son, he was home all summer, never went to bed before 4 a.m. So it's part of our DNA. You know, we're night people. And that's who I am. And I tend to burn both corners not as much as I used to. But I'm sitting there and I think, this is interesting. So I went up to the prophet's chambers and I read until about 2 in the morning. At 2 in the morning, I fell asleep. About 4:30, I'm woken up. "Reporting for duty, sir. Devil, I'm your worst nightmare." And all of a sudden, this little old lady begins to rip in tongues. Sa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la! And the whole house is shaking. And I'm holding on to the bed, going back and forth, thinking, I haven't had my coffee yet. What is going on here? And she prayed like that for 4 hours. So I come down the stairs, and I'll never forget her. She said, "Brother Woody, did you sleep okay?" I said, "There's not a devil within miles of this place." Every morning, I was there for a week, every morning, 4:30 a.m., "Reporting for duty, sir. Devil, I'm your worst nightmare." And shalala, and I'm like, I started going to bed as soon as I finished preaching. I'd get back, get my pajamas on, go right to bed. Because I knew at 4:30 in the morning, we were going to report for duty, sir, whether we wanted to or not. Come on. And this lady, she'd go to church and she'd have her little purse and she'd go like, and you know, she looked so sweet. But all the demons in hell are going, I called her Grandma Rambo. She was a Holy Ghost terrorist. But something happened that week. Because when I left that place, I caught something. And I'd find myself going in the car doing my little Shangri-La prayers. All of a sudden, "Reporting for duty, sir! Devil, I'm your..." And something would just come out of me. And I liked it. I could see the anointing's not taught. The anointing's caught. I caught something from that lady. I caught a warrior spirit. I caught a new level. A new level. I couldn't get there by myself. But I got around Grandma Rambo. And she began to literally give me some weapons. Come on now. And I was looking to blow away the devil. And something began for 10 years. She lived till she was 95. 1 week of every year I spend at Grandma Rambo's house. "Reporting for duty, sir!" And it exploded in me. When she went home to be with the Lord, all hell rejoiced. You know, she was a trip. But I believe God. That, you know, get around people that are warriors. Get around the anointing. Whatever you want, hang around. Let it rub on you. Let it rub on you. Let it rub on you. You want to know how to worship? Just get around the worshiper. Come on. Just do what they do. Come on. When they dance, you dance. I mean, when you know, just if you just imitate it for a while, and the same anointing will eventually hit your feet. And the same anointing, come on now. You get around a prayer warrior, and before you know it, there is a boldness and an explosion. We're about ready to catch something. Some of us, we're going to catch a second wind.
Some of us, we're going to begin to rise up and say, no more, no more, so more. Some of you, you've been under attack, but now you're going to attack back. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent are taking it by force. Come on now. We are going to begin to get aggressive in our faith, aggressive in using the authority, aggressive in the name of Jesus, aggressive by the blood of the Lamb, aggressive. God's going to give us gifts, weapons for the right hand, weapons, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Things are going to begin to explode. Come on now. God wants this area more than you want it. He's just looking for a body. And he's asking tonight, who will report for duty, sir? Who will report for duty, sir? And when you report for duty, it makes no difference how you feel. You show up when you feel like it. You show up when you don't. You pray when you feel like it. You pray when you don't. You rejoice when you feel like it. You rejoice when you don't. Because you're not living by feelings. You're living by faith. And then literally your commitment. Come on now. It is time to get a warrior mentality. I've heard people say, Christianity is like a war. It's not like a war. It is a war. And we are victorious. God is not coming back until the enemy has been made his footstool. Until the church, literally, he will not come back for a defeated church. He will not. He will not. He will not. He's going to come back for a glorious church. We got to stop going to battle in the wedding dress. Put on the full armor of God. When we get the job done, we'll get our gown. Come on now. The enemy's not afraid of a church that wants to escape. He's afraid of a church that wants to take over. Come on. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. It's the way we do in America. That's how I've watched. I've watched them. I never saw Jesus say, every head bowed, no one looking around. It's not bad to do it that way, but I've never saw Jesus do that. You know, okay, we're having a meeting now. Just think just as I am. All Jesus did was command people to repent, and they're smart enough to do it. Is there anyone here tonight? Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe you walked away from God and you need to make a comeback. Is any of you, you just need to get right with God tonight. If that's you, raise your hand. Jesus died for your sin. He's not against you. He's for you. Does everybody know you're okay? How many of you can say with me that I got to get my fight back? I got to get my fight to a different level. I mean, I realize I've been permitting things I need to forbid. I realize that many times it hasn't been that. It's almost been by keeping silent I've allowed the enemy. And it's time now. It's time now to get rid of it. It's time now to get. I believe there's a warrior anointing. Do you hear what I'm saying? A warrior anointing. And if you want that warrior anointing, I want to pray for you right now. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. I believe God is raising up a fighting machine. Come on now. We're going to fight that good fight of faith. Come on. And our faith works by love. Love will make you fight. Love will make you fight for others. Love will make you fight for your loved ones. Love will make you fight for your schools. Love will make you fight for your nation to get it back to where it needs to be under God. Come on now. It's time. You know, many of us, you know, I believe right now we need to begin to say reporting for duty, sir, and mean it. You know, how many of you mean it? We're reporting for duty, sir, that we were committing ourselves to this thing. Come on now. We're committed for the purposes of Christ. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. The same anointing that was on Jesus that caused him to do good and to heal all those oppressed of the devil. That same anointing's on us. It's an anointing to do good, overcome evil with good. It's an anointing to fight until the will of God's done. till literally earth looks like heaven. Come on. Lift your hands up to heaven. Tell God, I say, I'm reporting for duty, sir.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Devil.
Devil.
I'm your worst nightmare.
I'm your worst nightmare.
I thank you, God.
I thank you, God.
You counted me as faithful.
Enlisting me
into your army.
You've given me
the keys to the kingdom.
Whatever I bind
is bound.
Whatever I loose
is loose.
I will tread
upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one.
No weapon formed against me
will prosper.
I thank you, God.
You are giving me weapons
of righteousness
for my right hand
and for my left.
I thank you
that the victory
is already ours.
I'm enforcing the victory.
Thank you for the authority
that you've given to me,
because you're in me
and I'm in you, Lord.
As I submit to you,
I resist the devil,
and he will flee,
and he will flee,
and he will flee,
in Jesus' name.
Lord, I release that anointing now. There's an anointing of God right there, right there, right there. There's a fresh fight. Come on now.